How's it going, everybody? Andrew Zarian here, Wrestling Observer Live. We're here every day, Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. on Saturdays with Jim Valley, and Sundays with me, when I'm not sick. Happy Sunday, everybody. I'll get into it in the next segment. I have been battling essentially every possible winter illness that exists here in New York City. I don't think I've been this sick in a very long time. I'm still not good. I got to tell you, right before we're about to go live on Sports Byline, I'm starting to get queasy. I'm starting to suck wind. So let's see if I can get through this show today. But a lot of professional wrestling to talk about. AEW Grand Slam aired late last night. A lot to talk about. I want to dissect this show and what it was and what it wasn't and what it was supposed to be. Sounds like a Led Zeppelin song. There's a story here with this. I thought the finished product, I thought that was a fantastic TV show. I thought that was great. It was a blast. The wrestling was incredible. The crowd was great. Had about 11,000 people in that building. We'll talk about it. Charlotte Flair has picked her opponent for WrestleMania. I am thrilled that it is not Rhea. I didn't want to see that match again. Charlotte has picked her opponent. It's Tiffany Stratton. I guess she's the heel here. Tiffany's the babyface. Nice swap there. I think that works. Also, NXT Vengeance Day was yesterday. 6 p.m. start for the show. I thought that was awesome. Nice and early. Everybody could catch it. UFC was on right after that. It's a perfect timing. We have all this and a whole lot more to talk about when we come back. Guys, do me a favor. Follow me on X at Andrew Zarian. Submit your questions there. Let me know what you thought of last night's shows. We'll be right back after this. You're on Sports Byline. Stay tuned. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline, Sunday edition of the show. Let's start off with the big one, AEW Grand Slam. The tale of what could have been, the tale of what was, and the tale of what wasn't. Now, when this show was announced, it was announced for a stadium. And, you know, that's a big undertaking for this company. Especially in a market that you really don't have tremendous TV presence. You are somewhat in a decline when it comes to attendance. What did you think when they announced that they were doing this, MG? I'm curious.
I thought it was going to be a big
You thought pay-per-view. A pay-per-view? Yeah. They never said pay-per-view. I was told this was a Max special from day one, okay? It was going to be a Max special, not a pay-per-view. Nobody ever said pay-per-view to me. I was told Max special. I was told, and you know, Max special could be a pay-per-view. I'm not saying that it couldn't have been. It's going to be in a stadium.
Do we know if they did it over there, if they sold it as a pay-per-view in Australia? Or no?
I don't know. That's a great question. Okay. I have no idea. This was never going to be a collision. Let me start off with that. This was not intended on being a collision when it was initially. The concept came up and it was executed. But here we were. They had to downsize, obviously. Listen, and also, Australia is not a destination site for wrestling shows. That's a very, not because people don't want to go to Australia. It's because Australia is not an easy place to get to. It's very far for most wrestling viewers. So you weren't going to get this big influx like we do in the States or in the UK where people go back and forth and they'll fly. You know, going to London is not that bad from New York. It's a 7-hour flight. I could be there easily. Going to Brisbane, not so easy. So, you know, they had challenges there. They did have a huge gate. They did great with the gate. They made money. Merch sold immediately, even before the show was done. The show had started,
really,
I should say.
They ran out of merch?
They ran out of merch. People were complaining about that. I guess that's a good problem to have. Visually, very impressive to go on after the All-Star Game coverage. It started at 10:52. So this was probably their biggest lead-in that they'll have for the year. Positive there. Now, the ring. That was not their ring, was it? That was a much smaller ring.
I don't know. I've been trying to find validity on this, but apparently Kyle Fletcher knew somebody and was able to get them an indie ring.
I don't know
if
that's true.
If you looked, one of the posts, I don't either, but that's what I heard.
Yeah.
If you looked, one of the posts was bent. The aprons didn't match up. They were too big for it.
Yeah. So you know, that's a strange. That's a
well,
strange
do you remember,
event that happened.
Do you remember WWE ran Australia a couple years ago, and they had trouble getting a ring over there too? Something about pirates intercepting
that.
It. Yeah.
Is that something that happened? I remember something like that.
Yeah. It just triggered me today. I was like, you know, that happened before. Just getting stuff, shipping things over there is not easy.
Because I would imagine that you would have to ship it very much in advance.
I almost like you need a depot over there somewhere, have like a warehouse stuff ready. I mean, I almost feel like it'd be easier to ask New Japan for a ring and have them ship it in advance.
That probably could. That probably would have made the most sense now, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
So they had that little problem. Tony Khan did mention that they will be returning in 2026. This show was impressive looking. I really liked how the show looked. Started off big. With Takeshita and Kyle Fletcher coming out first, you know, a lot of people were speculating, oh, this is not a good idea because they're going to boo Kenny Omega and Kyle and Will Ospreay because Kyle Fletcher's from Australia. That didn't happen.
It did a little at the beginning, but then it picked up really fast.
I don't know. I didn't really notice
much. They were cheering for him, but by the end of it, it was the way it should have been.
Yeah. I thought this was fantastic. I mean, what a fantastic match this was. Kenny looked great. Will Ospreay looked great. Takeshita is fantastic. Kyle Fletcher really becoming that next generation for them. They've done the finish was
one
incredible.
Wing. What did I call it? One wing hidden blade, I think is what I called it.
A one winged hidden blade. These are four of the best of what they're doing. I do think as far as Kyle Fletcher becoming a guy that they're pushing heavily now. I think that's a real positive for this company. You know, when I was at World's End, right, with Rich last, when was it? Last December 2023, a year prior. You know who was sitting next to us watching every match? Like in the pre-show, in the pre-matches, sitting there watching was Kyle Fletcher. He sat there and he was watching the matches, taking it in.
Right.
And then you say, like, why are some people pushed? Why are some people not? Why are some people elevated? Why are some people that are so good never given that chance? You know, this is the other side. Why is Kyle Fletcher being positioned in the position he's in? Because things like that. He's fantastic, man. Takeshita's fantastic. I love this match. Really up there as far as, like, a match of the year candidate. I mean, really, as far as a tag team goes, for sure.
Might be the best. I would say it's the best tag team match so far this year.
I mean, we're only like a month and a half in, but
fair, but
only a month and a half in, but we'll do it. I really love this match. Really good stuff. And you know, a lot of this is fresh on my mind because I didn't watch it taped live to air last night because it was past my bedtime. AEW TBS title match, Mercedes Moné, Harley Cameron. A lot of people wanted Harley Cameron to get the title here. They thought this is a moment to do a really good coup and have Harley Cameron win. Of course, this included the Moné puppet.
They need to start selling that thing, man.
You know, I thought this was Harley's best match.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, by far. I thought she was fantastic in here. And, you know, she's playing a role. They're definitely found something with her. Her wrestling isn't there yet, but I think she did enough. And Mercedes
she did great.
She can carry
Mercedes is really good. Now that finisher though, I the moneymaker, the Moné maker, is she doing it to just be a heel because she knows it's terrible?
I don't know. I think she thinks it's good. It just it happens too fast and you can't see the impact. I think that's what it is for me. It just looks like it's, you know, the setup is too much. It just takes forever to get her back behind her back like that. But yeah. Other than that, that's my only complaint. Same
yeah,
as
I but I really, I mean, Mercedes really, you know, a lot, there was a lot of question regarding what she'll do, how she'll be. She's fitting in now so much better, you know, and this was what I said from day one. I'm like, listen, you gotta change your style.
Yeah.
You're a great actor and that's used to doing comedies and now you're in a drama. It may take you a season to kind of get comfortable. And that's where we're at right now. And Mercedes is pretty comfortable in her role.
Next month will be 1 year.
Next month will be 1 year, huh? Yep. Mm-hmm. Man, what a journey that was for us when we broke that story. That was the most unfun I've ever had covering pro wrestling. It really was just despicable. Some of these people. I want to talk about, when we come back, I want to talk about the rest of the show here. But there were a lot of moments here. Like Momo Watanabe was ringside, who now will be the number one contender and will get a title shot with Mercedes. I think that's going to be a great match. We also got another title match challenge. When we come back, we're going to break this down. We got SmackDown, we got NXT, and a whole lot more. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Stay tuned. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Where do we leave off? Oh, you know where? You can follow me on X, at Andrew Zarian. I'll be a little bit more active now that I'm feeling slightly better. I as the show is continuing, my demise has begun again. My producer has been championing me this entire time. You could do it. You could survive this. I'll try.
I'm getting my pom-poms out.
He has his pom-poms out. There you go. Kenny Omega, Will Ospreay were backstage where we left off. Kenny's challenging Takeshita for that international title at Revolution. You know, this is kind of falling into what I had suggested, and a lot of people have also suggested, is what if you unify the continental and the international?
I don't think they will, but it's a... It's
why
a
not? Problem. I mean, the match for All In is Kenny and Okada. That has to be the match.
It has to be. It doesn't mean that both of them will have titles at that point.
Why not? Why not make it be even bigger? You know, they have 11,000 seats sold for that show. You need to fill in at least. You got to get as much as you can. You're in a big place, you know.
I agree. That should be the match. That should be the main event. Or
that should be the main
event,
and you should have both titles on the line. And this will be a 1 hour epic, and they could tell this beautiful story. I mean, I think that's where you should end up. If anybody's beating Okada for this title, it has to be him. And the same should be told about Kenny. If anybody's going to beat Kenny for that title, it should be him. You know, these are S-class, special class graded pro wrestlers that this company has. And they have a lot of those. I just think you got to make this very important. Very into this. I think Takeshita and Kenny will have a banger of a match. They'll do unbelievable. Ospreay also challenged Kyle Fletcher to a cage match at Revolution. So now we're slowly getting these matches. So far, it's most likely going to be Momo Watanabe and Mercedes for the TV title. I don't want to call it the TBS championship. Kenny Omega against Takeshita for the international title, and Will Ospreay and Kyle Fletcher in a cage. I mean, that's fantastic.
And
Moxley, yes. Talk about Cope and Mox. The finish of this match, what was that? Brisbane Brawl. Death Riders against Cope and Jay White. I don't like watching Adam Copeland jump off of things anymore. I think he needs to stop. He doesn't need to. We're not asking for it. We appreciate that he wants to, but he didn't jump off of things that much in his peak.
Channeling his inner old Sting.
So what happens? You turn 50 something years old and you just want to jump off of things? Is that what's going to happen to me?
Yeah, exactly. Hold on, I'll be right back. I got to go get on my roof real quick.
Yeah. This was, they brawled around the building. That was the big story here. Cope ended up passing out to a bulldog choke. The fans were not happy with this, and they were chanting BS. What did you think of this match?
I first of all, the match was fantastic. It was a lot of fun. The whole briefcase thing is kind of starting to get to me.
I've been saying that for weeks. Where's the title?
They used it in the match. You know, on Dynamite, we've seen Spike trying to break it open. the match itself was good. But then the finish. Okay, so the finish isn't a normal finish from a WWE format.
Sure. Right? Yes.
Because he's probably not winning the title, so you think they would give him this match.
But
here,
why not? But wait, why not win the title? Why wouldn't he?
I know.
Why shouldn't he?
Maybe he is. Yeah. You know.
You know, he doesn't need to be a long-term champion. But who is?
Good question. See, that's the issue.
Yeah, see, and I'm not asking right, that. I'm not is, asking that
everyone
in a,
else
in a jerk
is, you
way.
Know, program. Right?
Who is, yeah. You know, if there's a program that you're telling and you need to take the title off of Moxley, which a lot of people want to see that title come off of Moxley right now, giving the title to Adam Copeland and getting that story out there that you know, Edge is world champion in AEW, does that do anything for your business? And then who takes it off of him? You could have somebody younger and they could have a great match and you could have him drop the title. You have a lot of people coming for that title. Hangman is looking to go for that title. Edge, Cope has the title, wants the title. Moxley has the title. Max wants the title. You have a lot of people.
I gotta tell you, my P2 brother, he doesn't follow AEW that often, but he told me, he goes, if Edge wins the title, and you use the Edge name, he goes, I'll start following AEW. So there are people out there.
Like, there are. Of course there are. It's most likely not the people that are listening to us, but, you know, sometimes you got to think about everybody else and what they want. I think some people will be happy with that. I don't know. I'm curious how they go in this with this. But the finish was not something that people were happy about. AEW Continental Championship. Okada. Buddy Matthews. Buddy, this was a fantastic match. Buddy, look, you know, he's so good. He's so good.
Yes.
Buddy is fantastic. And
he had a fan ringside.
And he did have a fan ringside. Rhea Ripley was ringside to watch Buddy Matthews and Okada, which
I can't believe
tells
they
you,
put her in the shot, even though you... Even though they never acknowledge her, but you can see her head the whole time.
You know what, though? It's a big moment. I mean, that's a big match. And Rhea is a pro wrestling fan. Yeah. Buddy is a pro wrestling fan. I mean, to watch your, you know, significant other have this phenomenal match in his home country, in your home country, you know, that means a lot. So,
absolutely.
She was there. I thought this was a great match. Buddy Matthews has always been fantastic. It's just nobody... Why hasn't either company, WWE couldn't figure it out, and they couldn't either for a while. I hope they do now. He's such a great wrestler.
There's no reason why he can't be on that work rate level as an Okada, as an Omega. He can be right there.
He could be right there. Mm-hmm. He's a great example of having it all except the booking. If you book someone like that... No, I'm not talking about, I mean, you could criticize, oh, is he a good talker? Is he a good this? Well, it doesn't really matter. If you book them if you come up with something creative that works, that's on you. You got to get them through that finish line. They have an opportunity here with him. Same thing with Big Bill, dude. That Brisbane crowd loved him for that Ring of Honor special that they're taping. So the story here was Buddy kicked out of the Rainmaker at one point, which was the first time in AEW that someone has done it. There were so many near pinfalls. Buddy thought he had it, but Okada got his foot on the ropes. That broke the heart of the audience because they had believed that this was happening. Finally, one too many Rainmakers, and Okada gets the win. You know,
good
great
match.
Match.
Really good match.
And right after this, they went into the main event, which I thought was fantastic.
They did obviously edited this a little bit, so there was no like lulls in everything. So instead of like a pay-per-view where there's
Yeah, because there were some edits here. There were some edits. Mm-hmm. You know, this was going to be 3 hours. This was supposed to be a 3-hour show. And they had to cut this. That's most likely why they're going to have that Ring of Honor special with, you know, that Jericho match and whatever else they put on. Fascinating how that happened. AEW World Women's Championship, Toni Storm, Mariah May. This was a hot match. The crowd was really into it. Both worked super, super hard here. Both looked incredible. They beat the crap out of each other. Those suplexes. One suplex after another.
Toni was at Brock Lesnar level of suplexes.
Oh, my gosh.
At one point, she hit 5 in a row. And I'm like, oh, my. This is great.
Yeah. It was, it really was a fantastic, fantastic match. It was a fantastic women's match. I'm glad that this ended it. The introductions were great. They did massive exchanges of finishers. I guess you would say this was a Paul Heyman booking, as Dave Meltzer mentioned on Wrestling Observer Radio. You know, big, big finishes. Everybody's exchanging finishes. Everybody's kicking out of everybody's finisher. But Toni would eventually hit a roll-up for the win, the most devastating move in all of professional wrestling. 1, 2, 3.
Which screams rematch, right?
Which has to become a rematch. And I'm not against that. I want to see them do it again.
No. Now maybe you do I don't know what you do, but it feels like a stipulation of some kind. Probably a Revolution. This is another match at Revolution.
You could do another match of Revolution. You could stall this a little bit. This was really good. Really good stuff. Toni Storm has been fantastic for a very long time. Mariah May came in. Everybody was very high on her and what she would be able to do. What can Toni do in AEW? And I got to tell you, you had two women's matches on the show. And both were fantastic in very different ways. And that's great. Top to bottom, this was a super tight, fantastic show. And it just, this is what Battle of the Belts should have been. A quarterly network special that you have, you know, these matches that continue a story to your pay-per-view. I've always said there's room for that. And you saw it last night. Now, I'm curious what the viewership will be for this. I'm curious what this does for Dynamite now, because you had a fantastic Saturday night program. But they've had many good shows. This was fantastic. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. We'll be right back after this. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. That was Saturday. Let's talk about Friday. SmackDown. Couple of notes from SmackDown. Obviously the big one. Charlotte. We'll get to that. Cody kicked off the show by running down all the people in Elimination Chamber. He mentions Drew McIntyre. Drew comes out. He runs down his resume because he feels like he's being disrespected. This brought out Tama Tonga and Jacob Fatu. Fatu says he will qualify in the main event for Elimination Chamber. You know, do you think Fatu has overshadowed Solo at this point?
Oh, absolutely. But, you know, I think he should. I think eventually, you know, I mean, I don't know when it will be, but I feel like we're slowly building to Roman and Jacob in a big program.
Everybody wants to see the cousins battle, right, between The Rock and Roman. I still do. I still want to see that. But if they keep these guys apart long enough and then you finally do Jacob Fatu and Roman Reigns on a big scale for a title, that is a astronomical match that you made once again, another big star.
Yes. Yes. And obviously I think we're getting the split from Solo Sikoa and Fatu. That's the beginning of it starting in that segment.
You saw it. So he says he qualified. This is when they show Solo getting out of the car in the parking lot. Fatu says he has unfinished business to handle before Cody could get his revenge on Solo. Naomi defeated Chelsea Green. The big spot of this match was the wedgie that Chelsea got. And Matt Cardona's response to it on social media.
Hard cam next time or something
hard
like that,
right?
Hard
cam next time. You know what? Leave it up to a nice Long Island boy to say something like that, okay? I you know, that was hysterical. But that was a big spot there. That was, that went about, what, 8 minutes? This was for a spot in the Women's Elimination Chamber, and Naomi defeated Chelsea Green. Motor City Machine Guns defeated Los Garzas. The tag division on SmackDown is great.
It's gotten better. It really has.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think Motor City Machine Guns coming into this company has kind of given everybody a little bit of life. But,
a little bit.
But, you know, amazing that these guys were never there. All those years.
It's kind of hard to believe. Yeah.
Jacob Fatu and Tama Tonga found Solo. They're all dressed. He's dressed all in white. Sikoa owned up for letting the family down by losing to Ulafala to Roman Reigns. He also seemingly threw in support behind Jacob Fatu being in the chamber, saying, I love you, Jacob. Nakamura comes out.
Which got a big pop in the audience,
which got,
by the
yeah,
way.
Yeah, I guess everybody supports Jacob Fatu.
Because it's full circle. Everybody follows the story. They're like, okay, yeah. Cool.
Nakamura comes out, says he's been laying in the shadows looking for a proper competitor for his U.S. title. Both LA Knight and The Miz would come out
I don't know what I wrote there, dude.
My brain
claiming.
Has stopped.
How about claiming?
Claiming. Oh, there you go. Oh, that's a much better word. We're playing the game of at what point does Andrew's brain start melting when he's reading his show notes here? Am I climbing the next challenger? Claiming to be the next challenger, so you see that those two are going to go at it. LA Knight defeated The Miz for the shot at the U.S. Championship. This went about 10 minutes. So you got that match again, LA Knight and Nakamura. Alexa Bliss wished Nia Jax luck in her women's title match later. We got a Wyatt 6 image.
So they're putting her back with them.
I guess
like.
So. I mean, she's coming out with that doll, and they sold a lot of those. Maybe she could save this group.
I think that's what they're hoping. I think that's the plan. I really do. I think, and she's a big enough personality. Maybe she can pull it off. We'll see.
Maybe she could pull it off. Where are we?
Carmelo Hayes.
There we go.
Defeated R-Truth.
There we go. Carmelo Hayes, R-Truth. Quick match. I'm so sorry. My screen broke again. Carmelo Hayes, R-Truth. That was what, you know, whatever. Right in the middle right there. Tiffany Stratton defeated Nia Jax by disqualification, retained the women's championship. Now, this is where it gets very interesting. It's been about 16 minutes. Candice would hit Tiffany to cause a DQ. And they were seemingly happy about it. After the match,
this is where
Nia
lost me.
I got
lost a little here because logically, you're not happy that you just cost your friend the title, but they're all happy about it, and then they just beat her down. I was like, you didn't win the title, so
I know.
How does that make
sense? So why are you happy? So Candice would hit. Okay, after the match, Nia and Candice continued to beat down Tiffany. Trish Stratus, who was a guest at ringside, came in to make the save, but she got taken out also. So here comes Charlotte, who would take a chair and sit next to Tiffany announce that she wants her at WrestleMania. What a heel. But now what happens with Trish?
Well, then they made a match for Elimination Chamber. So it's going to be.
There you go.
Trish Stratus and Tiffany Stratton versus Nia Jax and Candice, I do believe.
I guess you're going to go. Maybe you get Trish at WrestleMania 2 after this.
Oh, I'm sure she'll have a match there.
Something. Yeah.
Yeah. This is what happened last time she was at Royal Rumble. Last time she was at Royal Rumble, she stuck around for a few months until after Mania. I'm cool with that. Becky Lynch.
Yeah, that's great. That's fantastic. Bianca and Naomi were backstage with Nick Aldis. He shows them the new theme video, of Jade getting attacked. That implicates Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez. Now, do you think this was planned from the beginning, or they're just making it up as they go along?
I feel like they're making up as they go along, but I have a feeling that it's going to turn out that it wasn't them.
That it wasn't.
And they're going to end up, somehow they're going to end up dropping the titles to Liv and Raquel.
What if it's Bianca? What if it's Bianca?
That's what I'm thinking. That's what I'm wondering.
Ooh,
if it's going
to
end up being
good.
One of them.
I'm into
all
that.
Big old swerve.
Big old swerve. I'm into that. Very much. Very much. Trish Stratus and Tiffany agreed to team up. They said it'll be Tiffy and Trishy time. Damian Priest pinned Braun Strowman in a triple threat match. Also featuring Jacob Fatu to advance in the Elimination Chamber.
I really thought Jacob was going to win. I was surprised that Damian got it, but I'm not mad.
Yeah, Damien got it. Okay. I mean, listen, you're going to have a different story for Jacob, and that's fine. You know, but I like that they swerved it a little bit. There were some of those nice little surprises here. NXT Vengeance Day. Let's talk about this quickly. What did you make of the show? Nice.
It was a really good start.
3,500 people
really
in the building.
It was over by 8:45.
Yeah.
I was like, I got 2 hours to kill before Grand Slam starts. This is great.
Yeah.
So,
what were your favorite moments?
I did like Stephanie Vaquer winning the title.
That was great, and the ending was fantastic. How you brought everything back together.
And that tag match, NXT, Fraxium might be the best tag team in the world right now.
I know you're really into them.
Amazing.
Yeah, Nathan Frazier and Axiom are fantastic.
And I don't know, I can't pronounce his name, but Yoshiki Imamura from wherever he's from. Why am I Pro Wrestling Noah, right? He got over instantly with that crowd. He was so over.
It was a really good crowd. That DC crowd was really into this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The whole thing. The only match I didn't really like is the championship match with Obafemi and beating Austin. It was what it was. He can just beat the Stooges because that's all it was. So.
Yeah. Santino Marella also got a big reaction.
Yeah, he
Adriana
showed up
Grace,
on screen with his daughter.
Yeah, Adriana Grace is the daughter of Santino Marella, and that's unbelievable. How old we are now. The Santino's daughter, because Santino's not that old.
No.
He wasn't around too long ago. And his daughter's on TV.
Ago, 15 years ago?
Wow. You had the main here. You had Julia, Roxanne Perez. It was Fatal 4-Way versus Bayley versus Cora Jade.
Julia wins.
Julia's fantastic.
She's so those Josie girls, man, their footwork is so clean. It just makes everything go smoother. Makes these matches so smooth.
So smooth.
I guess the big part was Stephanie Vaquer comes out, and then we get the reveal that Jordynne Grace is on NXT, right?
Jordynne Grace is in NXT. So a lot of people are questioning, does she go to NXT? Does she go to the main roster? I don't think it matters. I think for her, this is a main product. She's assisting there until she goes to the main roster. She's going to be positioned in a big spot. You know that Jordynne Grace, when she gets called up, I'm using hand quotes here for radio listeners, it's going to be a big deal. So it doesn't really matter for her.
I think this is great. There was a couple of big matches on the main roster for her, but the one that really stands out to me is Charlotte.
So, her and Charlotte would be fantastic. I mean, listen, she was in the Rumble 2 years in a row. We saw some, you know, she worked with a lot of people, and
they definitely like her. That's for sure.
They definitely like her, and she is a fantastic story from the beginning of the pandemic, and her rise in pro wrestling has been a real, you know, we spoke about Kyle Fletcher and putting in the work and working hard and studying. The same could be said about Jordynne Grace. on the transformation she's done with her appearance, with her in-ring, with her promos, with her media outreach. She is extremely PR-friendly. She knows how to conduct interviews well. You know, these are all things that they look at. And that's a great story.
The other big thing from NXT this week and on the show was Ricky
Starks.
Are we gonna get the
mixed tag between Braun Breaker and her as a tag team?
Oh. Okay, you just broke my brain with that.
Can we like in story, can they be like cousins? The children of Steiners? I think I'd be really into that. I thought it was a fantastic show. It was a lot of fun. But you're right. It's a lot that they're doing. There's a lot of work that's being done here. You could see who's going to get elevated. The story here was a lot of people coming up. They're prepping a lot of people for a main roster debut. So we'll see what happens there. Road Dogg was also named co-lead writer for SmackDown. Did you see this?
Yes, I did. Good for
Interesting.
Him again.
Good for him again. He's back. He's back in a previous position that he did. When we come back, final segment of the show, we're going to touch on what's going on Monday Night Raw and Dynamite and some other news. I totally forgot to bring up Ricky Starks. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Stay tuned. Wrestling Observer Live, final segment of the show here on Sports Byline. Forgot to mention Ricky Starks. Contract signing set for NXT. Ricky debuted last week. He was released from his contract along with Miro and a number of other people. WWE also contract releases. There's rumors that Phoenix's contract, they're working on his contract now. Let him go. All right, let's see what Ricky could do. I wish him all the best. I think that'll be fantastic. Dynamite lineup for this Wednesday. AEW International Championship Series continues. Orange Cassidy versus Roderick Strong. The winner of the series will
actually
face Kenny
Omega.
Actually, it starts. Yeah. I'm so sorry. That's what I meant. The winner of the series will face Kenny Omega. Street Fight. Big Bill. Powerhouse Hobbs. MJF and Hangman face off. And the Ops, Samoa Joe, Hook, and Shibata versus the Patriarchy, Christian Cage, Nick Wayne, and Kip Sabian. All right. Monday Night Raw. Seth Rollins dukes it out with Finn Balor for the Chamber. Birth. That's what you wrote on the bottom of there, by the way. Birth. Roxanne Perez and Raquel Rodriguez. Vie for an Elimination Chamber spot, and Penta takes on Pete Dunne. I'm looking forward to that match. AJ Styles also returns to battle Dirty Dom. A lot going on here. It was an interesting week for pro wrestling. Next week when we come back, we're going to have a lot more to talk about, and I think I have a little scoop. You know, we keep talking about these network specials. I may have a scoop on a very unique show that AEW may be putting on later this year. We'll talk about it. Thank you for joining me, Wrestling Observer Live. We'll see you all next time. Take care.